From Charlie Gascoigne, we have "This town ain't big enough."
Go on.
I could literally just read out the titles and let everyone else do the job today.
Yeah, we run the Sheffield Improv Jam.
I now, by the way, really want to run the Sheffield Improv Dram, where we just have like a whiskey tasting event and then do improv.
Yes.
Coming this Christmas.
Instead of coating each other in jam and doing improv like you do every last
Thursday. Yeah, we didn't realise how literally we had to take it.
We like to stick together.
Yeah, we like to stick together so much. I was ill when you couldn't come last week and I was invited on my own and my body just went, no, not for that.
Thanks for having us on.
Was there a moment where you were like, he might fit in a wheelbarrow? I could just bring him so he's there.
No, because you were letting off a balloon somewhere, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was doing work.
That...
Work involves balloons.
Vastly devalues what he does. You're letting off a balloon somewhere.
Yeah. Like. If people want to find out about my job, they can listen to the Strike Comedy Podcast, available on all good iTunes near you.
Every single one of them as well. Like, it's very, very good, the distribution you've managed to get to every single iTunes.
Yeah. Well, we signed an exclusive deal, kind of like you two did, so everyone, when they look at podcasts for the first time, they just subscribe automatically to us.
Oh, that's all right, then. Can you imagine if, like, you two, you're sort of like, oh yeah, I think that's you two, isn't it? Whereas a podcast of someone you've never heard of, you open your computer and then someone just starts talking at you.
Why is Strike spelt wrong? For those who want to find it out, it's
STURIKE.
There we go. Yeah,
it's like you might say if you were an overzealous... what do they call them?
Baseball.
Umpires? Baseball
yeah,
umpires.
That was where the name came from.
Strike!
Yep. Except we then had someone who speaks German join us about a year ago, because we put an umlaut over the U because umlauts were cool in about 2010. Mm. And he said, oh yeah, that would be pronounced Sturiger.
Sturiger.
So for any Germans listening, search for Sturiger.
It doesn't. I'm sure that doesn't optimise your search rankings when you've got an umlaut over the U.
Fuck it.
We're the bad boys of SEO.
This town ain't big enough for the 12 of us.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I understand that the reference is two of us, right?
Yeah.
But how, like, when you make it bigger,
yeah,
you kind of make the concept smaller and more literal. So, like, that means that the town is actually going to be too small for 12 people.
Someone's going to have to build some bunk beds.
Yeah,
there's a saloon, but it's like a speakeasy and a really tiny one, and they're always arguing over what plays on the jukebox.
It's a micro saloon.
Right.
No, I'm just lovely 12 hipsters. A better title for this.
From Josh Cooper, we had The Other East.
Wait, isn't that just Shanghai Noon?
Yeah, that's definitely one of those Far East takes on Western, a la The Good, The Bad and The Weird.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, yeah. Shanghai Noon is in the West, it's just got Jackie Chan in it.
It's about a group of... Chinese explorers who are determined to find Spain and end up hitting the Americas.
Hitting the American West.
Yeah, it's an alternative.
Yeah, yeah, and then they're going east.
Just appearing in Nevada.
They bump into, like, the Spanish-Portuguese settlers and the English settlers coming across. Like, and they just colonise and meet in the middle. And it's a clash of cultures.
There's a big storm. They get thrown away, of course. Don't worry about it.
It's basically a retelling of Pocahontas. And everyone thinks that's really clever and not lazy.
And from Joe Newbery, we have West Wing. just the West Wing.
It's like a Western mythical fantasy where they ride like manticores.
Griffins,
yeah.
Oh no, this is an ancient Greek tale about the first steps of the Wright brothers into flights. It's Icarus for
the airplanes.
Did they die in a plane crash?
I don't know what happened to them, but like, also I think that was probably later. But don't worry about it. It's like someone is inventing the plane, and they have a whole Icarian tale where they fly too close to the sun, by which they, I mean, they try and get over the Grand Canyon and die.
Quite a lot of our films
involve the Grand Canyon.
Involve either getting over the Grand Canyon or involve a bad marginalised community based in the Grand Canyon.
That's true.
It seems to be a trope.
It's wasted real estate, Tom.
With a natural water supply. Tom, you too could earn millions by investing in the Grand Canyon. Look at that spot over there, Tom. It could be yours.
Grand Canyon property developments.
I want someone to write down a sign for the Grand Canyon. As you're entering like the Grand Canyon sort of like car park, just sort of the Grand Canyon. Wasted real estate.
The Grand Canyon property development. It's the future. Small print from the time machine.
You could fit a skyscraper in here, so why haven't you?
Oh yeah, and Connell Lavelle, a fistful of fists.
See, that's just disturbing. That scene from Doctor Strange.
where he looks and he's got hands coming out of his fingers.
For fingers.
Yeah.
No, it's an educational thing, like trying to teach kids about fractals, but using
using body horror,
body horror, and just setting it in like a cool, like, you know, hey, we're here in the Wild West, and we're going to learn about fractals.
I assumed it was the tale of forbidden love between two boxers.
In the blue corner. Why not both of us?
That's how boxers flirt.
It's also the tagline for the film.
Just, can you imagine like a sort of press conference, pre-match, post-conference, just like, why not both of us in the same corner? Come on, I love the guy.
No, it's that bit where I've never seen a boxing match or all the shit before a boxing match, but I know there's that bit where they're like sizing each other up or standing right next to each other. They're just doing that and looking deeply into each other's eyes, and then are like, oh wait, I'm in love.
There is one, I'm sure I've seen like a GIF or a video of it, of two boxers sizing each other up, and one of them's getting really aggressive and putting their face right in the other's face.
And just gives them a little peck on the lips.
It's the cutest thing in the world, because it's just like, you know who won there. We all know who won there.
Because he's like smaller than the other boxer, he grabs a yellow page and stands on it and goes... Stands on his tiptoes as well. It's really cute. Two boxers.
Ding, ding, ding. Yellow pages deemed as a legal maneuver in boxing.
Ding, ding, ding.
Just get that out of the way.
No, I think a guy opens a saloon, lets a load of people in, and then just bars the doors. It's like, you can't leave.
And you know what it is?
It's Lord of the Flies, then.
There's no person to it, right?
Yeah.
People walk into a saloon, the door just goes, right?
The door disappears.
Yeah, and it's only when things start to either disappear, randomly appear, they realise they're in The Sims.
So purgatory, then. Yeah,
right. Remember that bit?
While we're talking about Star Wars, have you seen the scene where the Imperial officers are clearly playing pranks on Darth Vader?
No.
Okay. So there's a scene at the beginning of Episode 6 where it starts out with them hiding on Hoth, the ice moon of Hoth.
Oh yeah. Mm.
There's a bit right at the beginning of that where all the little droids have gone down, they've spotted the generator and it's on screen, and the officers are going, oh, that's clearly nothing. And Darth Vader's there going, no, that is where the rebels are. Set course for the Hoth system. And then he turns round and the camera, like, pans to the left, and there's an Imperial officer like 2 inches behind him. Like, he just turns around and he's there in his face. And Darth Vader doesn't bat an eyelid, but that's the one he goes like,
well, set course for the hot system.
Yeah, I think they're playing pranks on him. They're like, he's clearly, guys, Vader's clearly got no peripheral vision. How close do you think I can get behind him?
There's a kick me sign, yeah. It's
how close do you think I get to him? And this officer's like 1, because he's got like 2 inches from the back of his helmet. And Vader just turns around. He's like, well, he can't be doing anything wrong. I didn't sense this with the Force. But seriously, watch that scene, because he is, like, unnaturally close to the back of Darth Vader throughout the entire scene.
An inconsistency I've recently found out, I know I've told you guys, actually, but the fact that in A New Hope, there's a line where it's like, and these last points, too accurate for some people, only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise. But we all know the meme of Stormtroopers can't hit a thing. Mm. However, right, if you watch The Phantom Menace in the pod racing scene, the sand people manage to shoot and destroy a pod racer going at a ridiculous speed with a sniper rifle, and it explodes because it hit it.
Like, yeah, they managed to shoot the engine
too accurate
out
for sand people. No, the sand people are fucking accurate. It's the stormtroopers.
Sniper bastard.
What I'm taking from that is that Ben Kenobi gets really racist.
You know what I'm taking?
They can't hit a thing.
You know what I'm taking from that? After the prequels, after the Clone Wars had finished, they'd run out of clones for stormtroopers. They went and recruited a lot of sand people.
Well, I always assumed that the reason that the clone stormtroopers were so bad at shooting was just because the long tall neck dudes just really fucked up the cloning process. So some of them are coming out and just like can't aim for shit. Which is why they really get replaced.
Well, it's like all the target practice was on those long neck guys. It's like really hard to shoot anything. So
they're just there, like swaying from side to side. Yeah. Going, you can't hit me.
It's just emotional.
Every time they look down the sights, they have flashbacks. Yeah. Like bullied by them. Yeah,
it's like trying to shoot a grape on the end of a noodle. It's impossible.
So someone could go down to the improv jam.
Yeah.
With the express intent of plugging the Life's a Pitch podcast.
I believe you've worn the t-shirt to it.
Other things.
You guys came down with Merc. Just wagging your big old dick around, just going, look what we've got.
We've got t-shirts.
I've got a podcast.
We know how to use Spreadshirt or whatever it was. Other ways you could share the podcast: Killer Man, and carve into his back the URL, or just Life's a Pitch podcast, and then you'll become known as the Life's a Pitch Killer, and we'll get we'll be cleared of all charges, and
I think you would have been cleared of all charges until this moment, at which point you are definitely inciting someone to violence.
Yeah,
but then we can hide behind satire. Yeah,
yeah.
Satire.
Satire.
Katie Hopkins gets to do it. Why can't I?
Because she's literally a devil.
That's true, yeah.
She is using weird arcane powers to not be prosecuted or just killed in the street.
Which brings me to another way you could share the podcast. Unearthly arcane powers. If you can find a tome of some kind to an elder god, it would be great if you could let them know.
I mean, you
tell them to give us 5 stars on
you
iTunes.
You could go looking for the Ark of the Covenant, which, as we all know, hides the Ten Commandments, and on the other block,
just carve as number 11.
Yeah, number 11. www.soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch podcast.
I bet there's space. I mean, how big could Moses' handwriting be? Probably space in the bottom.
He was,
or on the back.
On the back.
That's
the secret other commandments.
That's right. Moses, known for his small handwriting.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Prince of Egypt, part of the Dead Sea.
Turned a staff into a snake.
Tiny cursive.
Tiny cursive, yeah.
Tiny cursive.
Just illegible.
That's why you had to read them out.
Ironically illegible. We've got one from Pip Mason, and that is Hopalong Cassidy.
Hopalong Cassidy. Well,
girl this... called Cassidy.
Yeah.
Got one leg. Done.
Is that not the title of the song?
Might be.
Maybe.
Google it.
I should probably Google it. It was a real film. Hopalong Cassidy was a real person.
Oh, really?
Okay.
And, no. Wait.
It was a fictional character.
Fictional character.
Yeah.
That's, which was a real person, and then I read fictional character underneath. And I was, nope.
A TV series, that was it.
But Hopalong Cassidy is just Hopalong.
It's just one word.
It's his name, yeah.
Which is why I think... So now we've discovered that this is a TV series, right? Why don't we accept that as a reference, but don't use it? It's now about...
a girl with one leg called Cassidy.
No, because then you've got no story. You need what you need is Hopalong Cassidy is an instruction.
No. It's one of those weird films, right? Where just none of the questions that you expect to be answered are answered. Like, it's a girl with one leg, but we never find out why, and it's never referenced.
Okay.
She just hops everywhere.
I would like to make an alternative pitch.
Yeah.
It's an animated kids film, and Hopalong Cassidy is a bunny rabbit.
A cowboy bunny rabbit.
Yeah. A cow bunny.
Yeah.
But cows are the only, like, non-talking animals in this world.
Is the point of the film to figure out why?
Yes, it's like Zootopia. It's like Zootopia in that, like, some animals don't talk for some reason and they're being treated terribly, like humans treat animals. Hmm. And none of the animals can figure out why. It's only Hopalong Cassidy, a cow rabbit... who knows them well enough to figure out why they're being stopped from speaking.
And it's a Disney animated film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carl Urban was the best. Judge Dredd.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just going on, like, budgetary availability, because Carl Urban is a criminally underpaid actor all of the amazing work he did in... Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, well, my best film ever made.
Does Riddick have a roller coaster on his back off?
Feels like it, with the ups and downs of that film. Let me tell you.
Shit.
They've got Judi Dench of an air elemental. Yeah,
which is, like, seeded nowhere in the rest of the film or in like... Pitch Black.
Pitch Black is like gritty.
Yeah, it's like hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they leave the planet, it's like air elementals, prophecy, evil things.
It's like, yeah, like Pitch Black is hard sci-fi. It's like the conjunction of the moons to this planet means that the suns go down at a certain point, and you have to be like, it's mainly dark, but sometimes you have light, and then you've got to like work out that solar system in your head and like. Doesn't really make sense, but I'll take your word for it. And then they get off that planet, and then, yeah, you're right. It's just like, here's the prophecy long forgotten by the ancient elemental people. And you're just thinking, are you sure this is a sequel? Or are these just people? Are these just different characters with the same names and actors?
No, what had happened is that, what's his face?
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel had gone off and been like... Oh, dude, I'm going to run my own D&D campaign with, like, my character.
Yeah.
And then he was playing with a bunch of studio execs, and they were like, I actually like this story. We should do this.
And they're like, well, we couldn't get it past... We couldn't get it funded, but if we tell them it's a sequel to Pitch Black...
Yep.
Somehow Uwe Boll has the rights to all D&D films now.
It does feel like a D&D campaign, The Chronicles of Riddick, whereas Pitch Black feels like just a good film.
Although, to be fair, there's one bit in Chronicles of Riddick that's alright, when they're on that moon prison, and like the sun's about to come up and burn them to death.
That is my favorite. But you could make an entire film about that, and it'd be great.
It's Pitch Black again.
Yeah.
Why wasn't that the film?
Pitch White.
Pitch White Hot.
No, because then you set yourself up for 7 sequels, and I'm not sure we can handle that much.
And then, no, there's 50 sequels because there's 50 Shades of Grey, and they're all prequels to either Pitch Black or Pitch White. We don't know.
That is a lie. There are more than 50 Shades of Grey.
Are you going for like an expanded anime universe a la The Animatrix, basically?
Kind of, yeah. So, like, there's just 50 random animated shorts of Riddick.
Each with a different contrast level.
Yeah, there is one really good animated Riddick movie.
Oh, is that good? Like, I didn't watch it. Because I played the game.
Escape from Butcher Bay.
There was a game?
Escape from Butcher Bay was great.
It's a good game!
Yeah.
This is like a stealth, first-person stealth.
Again, very gritty, very, like, not based on the fantasy D&D campaign style.
Weird, isn't it? That Pitch Black, the only good thing about Pitch Black and its following, like the Riddick, the actual Chronicles of Riddick, I don't mean the movie, I mean just the stories therein, is just escaping from prison things. It's like we're stuck somewhere, space is trying to kill us, let's get away from it.
Great movie.
The animated movie is similar. They get caught on a big ship and it's someone who wants to imprison Riddick for some reason. I can't remember.
Keeps going to prison, Riddick. He's going to prison on Pitch Black.
That's what the third one's about as well.
Gets stuck on a planet. Chronicles of Riddick. Forget the rest. He's just on that prison planet where he's about to burn if the sun comes up. Then
Riddick.
Escape from Butcher's Bay is he's in prison and has to get out again.
The other game, Dark Athena, he was imprisoned on the Dark Athena, had to get out.
Why isn't that a genre rather than a series?
Riddick trapped in things.
Prison escape, badass escapes prison. Maybe it was just killed by fucking hell, why have I forgotten the name of the film? Really good film. Prison escape one.
Shawshank
Redemption.
Chicken Run.
It is a genre.
Don't ever
it
bring
is. Sorry, we need to reset the hive mind.
You know
Paul is somewhere really confused.
It is a genre. Chicken Run, Shawshank, Chronicles of Riddick.
Great Escape,
it is a genre.
Oh my god, imagine if you put that scene from Chronicles of Riddick to the Great Escape theme tune.
I thought you were going to say, what if you put Rocky from Chicken Run in that prison moon where he's about to set on fire if the sun comes
up? It's like an oven in here.
You just replace those weird wolf things with clones of Rocky from Chicken Run.
Okay, so we have Andy Dufresne, Riddick, and a chicken walking through the desert together, and they discover a spaceship. And they go inside and they get trapped there with a xenomorph.
Oh my god. Please cut that out. This is all going to be taken out of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Riddick chat, basically. Back to...
Circling back round.
The old laser spaceship.
Well, we were talking about budgetary constraints earlier.
Yeah.
That was within the bit that you're leaving,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. From Cyber Connor, we've got the robot who was very good at shooting people in the face but then learned a valuable lesson about humanity.
So first things first, we've got to contrive a way for a robot to be in a Western. Wild Wild West, done. Wild Wild West 2.
A robot who shoots people in the face and then feels very bad about it and learns something about humanity.
Yeah.
It says here he doesn't feel very bad about it.
Oh,
he just learns a valuable lesson about humanity. Okay. So
the valuable lesson is you don't have to shoot them more than once.
Oh no,
I shoot them in the face either.
I just assumed the first and last emotion he learned was disinterest.
I just like the idea that the value is economic. I could be saving so many bullets here.
He learned a valuable lesson. Humans, unarmoured. he's very good at shooting people in the face. Do we want to have, like, what kind of style of film? I know we're doing a Western, but how do we, like, fit this character into a film? Like,
what,
do we have, is it like a Chappie? Is it like a sort of someone makes him and then immediately gets shot in the face because he calibrated it wrong?
If this is
you think he's going to immediately shoot his creator in the face?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I thought you meant someone else shot his creator on the face, and then it could be like a revenge film.
He's like, you know what, humans are good for. No, he like opens his eyes, and his creator is being shot in the face, and he's like, that must be what happens to humans.
If this is Wild Wild West 2, correct me if I'm wrong. Who was in the original Wild Wild West?
Will Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So
no, I want to know if they can name the other guy in Wild Wild West, because he had a partner.
I know Ken Branagh was the bad guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of the other guy's name.
I can't even picture his face.
Yeah.
Okay, so my pitch to you for this, Wild Wild West and Men in Black take place in the same universe, and Will Smith has to go undercover. It's more of a like a prequel to Wild Wild West. Will Smith has to go undercover in the past to track down an alien robot that shoots people in the face.
So, wait. So Will Smith from Men in Black has to go back in time to the Western era, because a rogue robot has gone missing from the future.
Yeah.
In order to gotcha.
And that's where all of the steampunk technology in Wild Wild West gets introduced to the timeline.
And Will Smith's character gets stuck and renames himself Jim West Desperado.
Yeah.
Is that his full name?
Wasn't he called Agent J, or was he Agent K?
He was Agent J. Tommy Lee Jones was K, yeah.
Agent Jim. Timothy West. Yeah. So this, but that's going to be the start.
Yeah.
That's going to be the start of the film, or maybe a flashback a little bit later. The main part of the film is this robot learning that he can use one bullet on each human?
Yeah. He could be saving time. Because he's seen humans doing fighting, and they're really imprecise, like firing off everywhere. But he's a super powerful robot who can just aim perfectly.
It's an efficiency. He's an efficiency. He was programmed for efficiency.
Yeah.
And he's seen Western movies. And like he's sort of, his creator had them on in the background when that was happening, and then he accidentally gets teleported to Western times. At which point he's like, you know what, guys? And I see what you're doing here. Hmm. I see the project you're working on, shooting each other in the middle of empty streets. Brilliant. But, you know what?
Great pitch.
He's played by Jermaine Clement, this robot. He's like...
So what you're saying is this robot is good at... I'm trying to think of the word. What? Outsourcing? No, but...
Like, it's making efficiencies. Kind
of, if that's the one. Making gunfights more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he starts packing people into these streets.
He's some sort of gunfight middle manager.
Yes. Just Jermaine Clement with, like, painted silver. Naked, walking through the Wild West and lining people up. These people are terrified. And then they... Because there's a terrifying metal man, he's floating through their town, and he lines them all up in the middle of the road and then uses one bullet to shoot all the way through, like, several of their heads.
I think that the lesson has to be learned through an unlikely friendship with a young boy, but it's going to be the other way around, because he's going to teach the young boy to love killing. And there's no better actor to play that young boy than the kid from...
Love Actually. From,
oh, no... That was not what I was going to say, but yes. Yeah, Thomas Sangster.
Good call. I was like, I have no idea who that kid is. I know who he is and what he's been in. Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jojen Reed from Game of Thrones as well, yeah. I know that, but not what his actor name is. And he also had one line in The Force Awakens.
Did he?
He's on one of the Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
he talks to what's his face.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that and thinking, the fuck?
Yeah. He's a bigger part in this.
Then he exploded.
What would be better if he was like TR-8R? Like he just was he's got a line in the middle of that battle where he fights Finn when he's got the lightsaber, he grew up quite quickly after he was on Game of Thrones. Now he's a giant stormtrooper.
Hmm. What? TR-8R?
Yeah.
He's a giant stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Where?
In The Force Awakens.
There's a giant stormtrooper. Not giant.
I don't mean he's. No, yeah, the guy with the baton.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, he wasn't big.
He was big.
He was bulkier than your average stormtrooper.
He had a bit of heft to him.
He's like the Bloodbath McGrath of. to make another wild.
My nickname in certain circles. I didn't get it until I saw a review for Wild Wild West because I haven't seen that film. I haven't seen Wild Wild West.
How many times have we referenced that film?
Yeah, I know, and I know it off by heart, like word for word. I just haven't seen it.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.